You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from veto to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 22nd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm good. There may not be a whole lot to talk about, but I still think that there are a few things that we can get into today that will either be dramatic or just set the stage for the coming weeks of Big Brother.
Yes. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 17 in the house, and things are starting to smooth out here in the Big Brother All-Stars game, with Tyler at the helm of the ship. The seas are smooth sailing. And honestly, it feels like the game talk has, the last 2 weeks, it's been hectic. They barely have the backyard. During Memphis's HOH reign as well, he didn't let anybody into the HOH room, like, ever. And so that was like another room that just wasn't available for anybody. And so I think that added to the chaos of that week, where they had no places to talk and the game talk was very sporadic and all over the place. Tyler, he lets people into the HOH. He has game talks in the HOH room. The game talks aren't as necessary because it's a very easy week. And so it makes my job easier, Liana.
Yeah, I would say it definitely makes your job easier because, you know, you're going from a charades conversation or charades game, you know, to more just nonsense talking about slop and food, which maybe not as important when it comes to the grand scheme of strategy with Big Brother. But I think part of it also is like with Memphis saying no one can come in my HOH room, or, you know, not explicitly potentially, but Tyler, no one is coming up to talk to Tyler because they're just used to that not being the status quo. And so even conversations could be happening with Tyler, but they're just not because people aren't used to it. And Tyler even comments on that. Like, no one's coming to talk to me.
He's like, I got to change the culture around here. Memphis, you screwed me.
Yeah, exactly.
Memphis is like, yeah,
whatever. I don't care. It's cold.
I don't know why you wouldn't use that room. I mean, whatever.
Okay, Grandpa.
All right. So a couple things to talk about today. In particular, something that made the rounds early in the day. Tyler has a conversation with Kacer, finally. Tyler is basically telling Kacer what he's been telling everybody else and telling the cameras for a while, that he really wanted to work with Kacer at the start of the game, that he felt like he was really tight with him and that he wanted to work with him, and that his feelings kind of got a little hurt when he heard that Kacer was saying his name, because he really liked him and he wanted to work with him. And Kacer says, well, I felt like I was being targeted. And Tyler's like, well, you were, but not by me. You just grouped me into that group of people. And like, I wasn't locked in with those people at the time. And Kacer is like, I mean, I did like you and we did talk, but I didn't want to feel stupid and I didn't want to be double crossed. And so, you know, I just kind of felt like you were with them.
This felt a little bit not an autopsy is not the right word, but like when you go back to an old relationship, you're trying to figure out why that relationship failed.
Yeah,
what went wrong? That's what this conversation felt like to me, because it wasn't, okay, how can we pivot to move forward knowing the fact that we, you know, may have wanted to work together? It was more like, bruh, I wanted to work with you, but you did all of this stuff so that we can't work together. And now it's done. Like, what's done is done.
It was I mean, I had such a big crush on you in high school. Are you kidding me? I had a crush on you. Then why were you with that other person? I thought you didn't like me.
I wasn't even
with that person. I didn't like them. You only thought I liked them.
Yeah, just like this massive communication of like, oh, what could have been? You should have asked me to prom. If only. Postmortem. Yes, that is the word that I am looking for. Thank you, Chad. It's the postmortem of like why this relationship didn't work. And it was so frustrating. Also, Feeds cut in the middle of it for the freaking safety ceremony, whatever. So we didn't get to see the full conversation. But it was, it was very much from the perspective of this is in the past. So sorry, sorry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tyler says it's really Kacer. It was not as in depth as you thought. Like I focus on people first, or at least this season, I wanted to focus on people first, alliances later. I was still thinking through that stuff when my name got associated with people in alliances, and I could have been on the block because of that, man. And so he says, look, Kacer, I don't want you to go home. I respect you a lot, and I hope that we're able to continue the friendship that we started to build on the outside at the very least. And Kacer says, you know, I actually believe you. Like, I respect whatever you want to do this week. I believe what you're saying. And he says, look, it's a long game, and maybe if I stay, we can work something out.
Well, and so these are the things that I'm looking for, right? Knowing that this week, sorry, is a relatively foregone conclusion of what is going to happen. What is going to be set in place this week that will have long-term ramifications? So there are some other conversations and some other tension that I think is definitely going to pay off later on. But this of, okay, Tyler trying to build a bridge with Kacer to then, once Janelle is gone, pull him in, I think is something to watch out for.
Yes. Now, I do want to quickly address, I made a Twitter thread about this, that people are very confused about, like, is Tyler telling the truth here or is he like gaslighting Kacer? It is actually believable. Now, I'm not inside of Tyler's mind. My guess is that he's at least 90% genuine with everything that he's saying here, because it is easy to forget that. While Cody did go to Tyler night one to be like, hey, we're going to run this stuff, and they did have a couple of conversations, they didn't actually open up to each other about game until night seven. And I was complaining about it. I was saying Tyler is sleeping at the wheel because Cody's making all these alliances without Tyler and he's not actually included in this group. And I was also complaining that Kacer wasn't getting in with Tyler because it was clear that Tyler wanted to work with him. So Cody actually did never tell Tyler that Kacer and Janelle were the original targets before the safety comp. In fact, after the safety comp, Tyler went up to talk to Cody and Cody pretended like he was never going to target Kacer. He was like, I had a good conversation with Kacer. I don't know why he competed. And Kacer's like, oh man. And then Kacer, Tyler, who had talked with Kacer, and been like, hey, I'll smooth it over with Cody. Like we can work. We can come up with a story about why you competed. That's not like you were not trusting Cody because, you know, we don't want there to be any animosity there. I can vouch for you. And he did that. He went up to Cody and he was like, hey, Kacer wants to work with you. Kacer wants to work with us. And then Cody, you know, pretended that he wasn't actually after Kacer. And then before any of that happened, before any of the safety competition happened, Kacer had already linked Tyler and Cody together. And we talked about this too. This is a good read by Kacer. I'm not saying it was a mistake by Kacer to think that they were linked up because they were talking and they clearly were going to be working together eventually, but it was premature in the sense that it was not locked in place at all. In fact, Tyler wanted to work it, and I'm willing to bet that Tyler would have chosen Kacer over Cody. I think Cody was more out of necessity. And he says as much that he was tighter with Kacer than he was with Cody at the time. In a small way, it's kind of like what happened with Nicole and Kacer, where she saw Kacer and Janelle run upstairs to Memphis after the nominations, laughing with them. Kacer saw Tyler run upstairs after the safety comp, and he was like, ah, this is confirmation that Cody and Tyler are working together against me, when really it was just Cody and not Tyler. I don't know how much of this is like 1,000% true, but those things did actually happen. And Tyler's story is, at the very least, very plausible.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Based on what we saw, this definitely seems to be the case. We can put together the pieces. There are morning updates that chronicle this mm-hmm. journey. And so that's why it felt like a postmortem, because there were things that actually happened. It was a missed connection on Craigslist. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't a situation where I felt like Tyler was 100% gaslighting Kacer. Yeah, okay, maybe a few things here and there about it. But to be honest, it felt very genuine and very real conversation.
Mm-hmm. And again, it matches what Tyler has even said to the cameras, which is like, I really wanted to work with them. Why do they keep saying my name?
Exactly.
So that happens. Feeds go down for the safety competition. And this safety competition is so pointless. It didn't matter. Memphis was throwing it. Whoever was safe didn't matter. While I like the safety competition as a whole, the thing that I do not like about it is that we keep missing like a good chunk of HOH conversations. So especially in the previous weeks, but even this week, like, we missed the entire Tyler Janelle conversation because feeds had to be down for the hour of, will they compete even though this is the last one? And so we did not see the Tyler Janelle conversation at all.
Well, and like we were talking about, feeds cut in the middle of the Kacer Tyler conversation. So not only did we miss the second half of that, but then, yes, we also missed the Janelle conversation, we've talked about this last week. It doesn't make sense why feeds would need to go down for that 1 hour, because it's not like they're doing anything different. They're just sitting around deciding whether or not they're going to swipe their pass.
We can't see the screen with the countdown, Liana. That's too behind the scenes.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Of course. What was I thinking?
Yeah. So Tyler is going to talk with Enzo after the safety competition, because Enzo wins the safety competition. That's the second win for Enzo, who is now the winningest cast member on the season.
Well, I think Memphis... Wait, okay. So, because he has a veto and a safety suite.
Veto and safety.
Enzo,
yeah,
Memphis has
HOH
and
veto.
So I don't know if one is worth more than the other.
That's fair.
But yeah, it's... apparently the old men of the house. Again, use old men in air quotes.
So
good on Enzo.
In a way, I like this for Enzo because it's proving that he can win competitions, which is going to be very important for his, you know, end game prospects. But in another way, I don't like that he is shaking this notion of like, oh, he's like not a good competitor, because now he's going to be more threatening. Now, I think overall, I think it's positive, because I think if I'm Enzo, I would rather be more of a jury threat and a threat overall and be able to win a jury than like an easy Final Four, but it's going to be tough to win a jury. But it's kind of close. I think he should kind of chill on competitions for a couple weeks, I think.
I think it's not as bad as winning HOH and Vito in the same week, right? Because we talk about like that is a huge, can put a huge target on your back. But I think that's from a jury perspective, it's kind of unnecessary at this point, because like, okay, so I won two competitions early. You have a better memory of things that happened more recently. So I think it makes sense if that's the point he's trying to prove to win the competitions later. But I will say, when you have an alliance that values the ability to win competitions, then showing your ability to win competitions in situations that really don't really matter all that much, like you just said, the safety suite competition doesn't matter, then he can prove his value in that way to the alliance. And so they would be more willing to keep him around. So that could be another benefit to it.
It'll also take a lot, I think, to like surmount the perspective that people have on Cody and Tyler as like big comp threats. And even right. Danny, who hasn't won anything yet, she holds the record for like most veto wins in a season. There are a lot of other competition, you know, big shots in this group. Mm-hmm. So, I think he'll probably be fine. But Enzo is upset because Day was upset that he gave his safety, the plus one, to Christmas and not Day. And he's like, what? Why is she upset? I'm trying to hide the alliance. I'm trying to pull in Christmas as an ally. Because remember, Enzo is not actually in any alliances with Christmas. It might be easy to forget that, but they are like Kacer and Tyler, missing their connection, and are not in any official alliances together. And so he felt like, oh, Christmas, she's somebody that I can pull in.
Yeah, it's so funny because you like forget all of the various permutations of everyone. And it's like, oh, yeah, they're not officially an alliance. So Enzo is out here being like, oh, Christmas would be so great to have for us to pull in, talking like to Tyler or to Cody about, oh, yeah, Christmas, that would be so great. So that was his decision. But the whole thing with Bay was really interesting, because I don't know if we missed something, but Bay apparently had a conversation with Enzo about Enzo using the safety on her or something. It was a little confusing exactly what had transpired, but there was some sort of drama where them being frustrated with Day for what she's been doing in the house.
Yes. And Day is going to talk about it a little bit later with Kevin. Like, I don't know why he used it on Christmas. Like, you could get sort of, you sort of saw the ripples of it, but we never saw what they were actually really talking about, intensely. It's apparently was this, you know, laser competition. Enzo's like reenacting it multiple. Like, oh yeah, it was so good. Yo, we were like sliding under the thing. I was having so much fun. Danny apparently came very close to winning it. So she was like, I'm sorry, guys. It's going to happen soon. I'm going to start winning them soon, I swear.
Is it better to come in with the reputation of not being able to win comps and then win a bunch of comps versus the reputation of winning comps and then not being able to
way
win
better.
Comps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never want to be the Colby on Survivor coming back, washed up, can't win anymore. Yeah, it's Enzo too. The other day was talking to Cody. It was before the HOH comp, and they were talking about how it was probably going to be a crapshoot. And Enzo was like, oh, I'm really good at those. And Cody was like, what do you mean? You won like one competition on your season. He's like, no, but I came in second, like a bunch of times in those crapshoot things.
Like, they're crapshoots by definition. It's random. Okay, Enzo, it's fine.
I was second, like every time, yo. So Enzo tells Tyler, like, my people, Tyler, you, that's you. That was my mistake, not his. Cody, David are my people, the bros. And you know, we'll pull in Christmas. That's gonna be a great pull. And Tyler's like, yeah, Christmas would be a great person to pull in because she's my mole. They said, Enzo's like, Day must have a guilty conscience. She's worried about not being safe this week. She's worried. Mm-hmm. She's why is she worried about not being safe? You're HOH, guilty conscience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So must represent something. And they're nervous about her relationship with Danny. And so there's sort of, oh no, that's with the conversation with David later. But like there, you know, there's some distrust there. And so Day is not doing herself any favors, of course, based on the events from last week. But then it seems to maybe be continuing into this week with Tyler as HOH.
Mm-hmm. They also laugh about how Day was thinking that there was a guys alliance before there even was one. They're like, seriously, like people keep manifesting these alliances into existence. Like they think there's one before it happens. And then we make one because it's out there.
I love that they legitimately recognize the fact that she willed it into existence by saying that there was a guys alliance. Now, are you guys watching us listening to feeds? Like we're joking about that too.
Yeah. Enzo also saw Day cheering for Janelle during the HOH competition. Very sketchy.
Playing both sides of the house. Can't be trusted.
Tyler lets him know about his conversations with Kacer and Janelle. He says, Kacer owned it. Kacer was like, yes, I talked about you. I'm sorry. But Janelle just flat out denied it. Like, oh no, I didn't talk about you. It was all about Nicole Franzel. It was never about Tyler. And so he was like, Kacer owned it. Janelle, nope.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, when we're talking about, all right, who is going to go this week? Like Janelle obviously is the top target. And I think conversations like this, you can see where people are, where their preferences lie. And so I think that the majority of the house does seem to be against Janelle. And this for me, because I didn't know where Tyler was necessarily going to fall. I think these help to solidify that, yes, he does want Janelle out.
Mm-hmm. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Kacer and Janelle are going to talk about being nominated together for the, like, fourth time. Yeah. I tweeted the gif of like James Franco in the news, the Coen Brothers movie, like to any yeah. Big Brother duo complaining about being put on the block together, like, oh, first time. Yeah. Like they said, you know, we regret not working with Tyler. We wish that we could have done that. If only he hadn't been with Cody from day one. And they hope that whichever one of them stays, they'll be okay for a little while because they won't be as threatening as a duo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Janelle says, like, look, after you left, I was able to work with these other people. And so I think she's sort of starting to say, like, hey, look, you, because she thinks, you know, she's going to be the one to go. Kacer, if we want you to do well in this game, these are the things that you're going to have to do. And so Kacer, you know, he's an introvert and he talked a little bit about this, but it's hard when you are an introvert to be on all the time and to talk to people. And so he was sort of pulling back a little bit, but Janelle's like, you know, you can't do that. You got to start, like, continue to have those conversations, continue to build those relationships. And so he was able, thankfully, to recharge and sort of get back into the swing of things with talking with people. And so hopefully that will help his chances if Janelle is the one to go this week.
Mm-hmm. Tyler talks to David. And David is like, we've got to get Memphis out, man. It's Memphis. He's coming for me. And Tyler's just like, I get it. Memphis is on the radar. Memphis is definitely in trouble next week. I have to go after Janelle and Kacer. It's what everybody wants. They're saying my name. They're coming after me. But don't worry. Like, we're coming for Memphis. Next week, I'm sure he's going to be on the block. You win it, you take him out, man. And look, here's the thing, too. Even if Memphis wins and puts you up again, you've got the numbers to stay. And the fact that you have like an enemy in the house is actually kind of a good thing, because people want to keep you around, because it's like, oh, hey, it's like him and Memphis are at each other's throats, which means they're not a threat to us. So, you know, like there's benefits to this as well.
It's so nice hearing Tyler talk so openly about elements of strategy, because these are the moments where I'm reminded, like, oh, yeah. He knows a lot. He knows what he's doing. And there's a reason like why he was my winner pick his first season. There's a reason like why he ended up being my winner pick this season as well, because he understands these types of dynamics. And he even continues on talking about the fact that, look, we got to be careful of the people that are not perceived as pairs versus the people that are perceived as pairs, because he's like, that's what I did on my season. That's what I did with Caitlin. I latched onto her for 37 days. So when people put us up on the block, like Caitlin would be the one gone, not me. And so those like little things are just so fascinating to hear him talk about.
Yes. Yes. Talking about like Nicole and Ian, like they seem like a pair, but is that real? Is there a closer pair? Good to know, because Nicole is not really in any major alliances with Tyler, except for, of course, the Memphis one. I'm sure he's aware of how close she is with Cody. I think that's what he's hinting at there. Or maybe Danny is the one he's talking about. David goes to Kevin, and I can't get a read on David. I don't know if this is him playing Kevin or if this is what he really thinks, but he talks to Kevin about like wanting to go after Memphis, and Kevin's like, well, Memphis might go up on the block as a replacement. And Kevin's like, nah, I don't think so. I think him and Tyler are close. I don't think Tyler's going to do that.
Yeah, I had the exact same thought. It's like, wait, like, did I miss something? Did Tyler tell you to say that, or is that like your idea, David? Unclear.
Yeah. So feeds go down for nominations, and Kacer and Janelle are in fact nominated together for, I think, the fourth time. sad business. Tyler is going to talk briefly with Day. A lot of blowing smoke about the Alliance, the Slick Six. He brings up level six and he's like, when I'm in, I'm rocking with the group. That's how I did it last time. And it worked. You just have to stay loyal. That's the only thing. You just have to stay loyal, Davon. You just have to stay loyal. That's what I did. We stay loyal. And Day is like, I'm trying it your way this time.
What? And this is so funny, because this is like the payoff from the conversation earlier about Tyler being like, you know, or in Enzo being like, oh, she gets so paranoid, and then her allies don't trust her. And so then you have Tyler being like, don't be fucking paranoid. Like, we need you to keep it together.
Yeah. Tyler talks to Cody and he mentions that, look, we really got to keep an eye on Danny. We get an opportunity to like she's up on the block and then, the votes flip. We got to take that shot because she is dangerous.
I'm like, oh no, the votes flipped.
This is Tyler's specialty. He did it to Winston. He did it to Rachel.
Yep. And it is so that's what I'm talking about. Like, yes, okay, feeds are a little bit predictable with the big picture of what's going on, but these little things are so exciting to me, because you can start to see, oh, I thought it was going to be really like Cody versus Danny, but I think it's going to be Tyler versus Danny, especially with a conversation that Danny and Nicole have later. So it's like, aha, this is truly the war that we shall see soon.
Yes. And speaking of things that Tyler says that like make you aware of how good he is at the game, Tyler mentions to Cody, he says, look, the key is thinking about each person in the game and just thinking about like what benefits them most and then just be that thing that benefits them the most. Easy.
Who would have thought? Oh,
that's some Vanessa logic right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's about incentives.
Appeal to each person, like what motivates them, what's the carrot in this situation, and Tyler knows that.
Janelle, Kacer, and Davon. That Cody Tyler conversation that I tweeted this out to, this is a funny juxtaposition of Cody just being like, man, Derek was so good at just like getting people to talk, I'm just trying to have like personal conversations. So Tyler, what, like, are you still close to your boys back home? He's like, yeah, I'm close with them. And then downstairs, you've got Kacer and Davon. Initially talking, Day is still under the assumption because, again, we all like we remember it as obviously Kacer and Janelle were the targets and then they won safety. But the reality is that only a few people know that they were initially the targets. Davon is still under the assumption that they screwed themselves by playing in that competition because they were never the targets. And she says as much to them and they're like, no, we were targets. And she's like, okay.
Well, and Tyler says the same thing. You guys were never on any, you know, radar until you played in the safety suite competition. So that narrative is being perpetuated throughout. And so that's what I think the majority of people believe, even though Kacer's like, I do not believe for one second that we were not targets that first week. Like, don't even try to play me.
Yeah. So then Kacer starts talking about religion and race and intolerance in religion and trying to find tolerance in it. And why he comes on the show. And Day starts talking about the struggles of trying to play this game as a black woman, the difficulties that she faces and how she doesn't get to just come in here and play the game like everybody else, that she has to contend with so much other stuff. And it's an awesome conversation. She starts crying, like he's emotional. And she's going to bring this up later. Janelle is sitting in the middle, just kind of like,
like the dog watching the ball in the, you know, the tennis match or whatever, like going back and forth. This was such a fantastic conversation that I was happy that I got to listen to, because especially with modern Big Brother, we never see stuff like this. Like, I didn't expect this in-depth conversation about religion and especially tolerance. Like, Kacer said something along the lines of, it's the same destination, just different vehicles. And I was like, give him an Oscar. Emotional. I love it.
And so, like, we just need Kacer on every season. Like, he raises the bar for the kinds of conversations here. At one point, both feeds were on this conversation, and then one of the feeds cut back to the Tyler and Cody conversation, and they were talking about like, the Ford Siesta, that was a bad car.
And back to the other cameras, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll go to Kelly Blue Book if I really need to know about car value.
But I think it's also like, I feel like it's something that we should continue to reiterate anytime we get the opportunity. Like what Day is saying too, like, there are, and I know it's something that we talk about a lot, but like there are extra challenges to coming in as a black woman, as a black man, as a person of color at all, that there's a certain role that they're being looked at to fill, and that they're contending with dealing with a bunch of other people that can't relate to them on this level. And so many other extra challenges that we need to make sure that we accommodate for when we look at, their gameplay and everything.
Yes, exactly. This 100%, because I think sometimes there's a want to separate the two that, this isn't game. This is 100% game. And everything that Day is saying here is like, look, these are the societal ramifications that I have to deal with by looking the way that I do and coming into a house, especially one with particular racial makeups, you know, and being able to talk about those things, I think is so important because it helps to remind us as well. Oh, yes. Okay. When she's making strategic decisions, these are all of the things that are coming into play. Or when other people are making strategic decisions, this is something that is very real, very true. And it plays a role in these types of games.
Mm-hmm. So, awesome conversation. Then they have a big game of charades.
Yeah.
They wanted to do it. They suggested, why don't we do charades for past Big Brother players? And that was, that sounds amazing. They're like, oh, no, we had a big talk about that. We're not allowed to. Like,
I was so mad. I was so mad. I was like, I would love to have seen this.
I was Danielle Murphy.
I know.
For those that aren't aware, we're pretty sure that Danielle Murphy was upset about being talked about on the feeds in a disparaging way. So she called production. She said, don't you let them talk about me. And they were like, fine. And now they apparently can barely talk about any past house guests at all. And it's very upsetting.
Ugh, I know. We got a little bit of Willie Hance conversation earlier today that I did enjoy, but that was about it. And charades of the different former house guests just would have been a thing of beauty. Can you imagine Enzo doing impressions of former house guests?
Right?
You know, that would have been the best.
Instead, they do it on movies. It's pretty fun. They get really into it. Cody and Christmas especially get really, really into it. You can tell that they're very, very competitive.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, even in situations where, oh, there's not much that can be gleaned out of them playing charades. Oh, for sure. Like, you see how competitive people get. That is them, who they are as a person, which will apply to both charades and Big Brother.
Ian too, you know, I saw a little bit of Big Brother 14 Ian come out during charades because he was doing so well that sort of like the cocky Ian that would like smoke cigarettes and like yell at Frank. Like there was a little bit of him there that was like, I'm king of charades. Bow to me, peasants. Like the Ian that says, I saw this cast and I was like, I'm smarter than all of them except maybe Kacer. Like that Ian definitely came out a little bit.
Yeah, this better not have any ramifications down the road because it was a thing of beauty.
So then we get into the main drama of the nights, which is that they've been joking around about Day and David. Earlier in the day, they were hanging out in the have-not room. People are actually hanging out there now, I guess, because Cody's a have-not. And Cody was like, you know, I didn't see it before, but like, I totally see it now. Like David, he's in love with you. Like he definitely likes you. Like he follows you around like a puppy dog sometimes. And he says that the Bailey is the one that let him know that, you know, David has a crush on Davon. And Davon was like, why would Bailey tell Cody that? It was supposed to stay with just the girls. And so she was not happy about that. But later, Nicole and Davon are kind of like joking around about David having a crush on Davon. And Nicole's like, you should go for it. Like don't run away from it, Day.
It's true love.
Yes. And it is like, lighthearted. Bailey joins the conversation though. Bailey has not been enjoying her time on Slop. She's going to talk about a little bit later with Day that she's hungry. She feels very dumb because she's hungry. It's messing with her brain. She's got some PMS situations going on. And Tyler is HOH, and that is really triggering her. Like her fuse is very short in terms of like the sort of like the friendly face she puts on for people. You know, Tyler talks about this, that like she's really smiley and like bubbly with you, that's like the game face. If she's like, you know, straight with you, that's the real Bay. That's how you know you've gotten through to the real Bailey.
Yeah, I very much empathize with Bailey because I can understand that and that feeling of like, look, when you get pushed to the edge and slop definitely doesn't help, you're a little bit more direct with the way that you speak. So I can understand that. But the downside of that is that it is not helpful necessarily for your social game within Big Brother, especially when the person you're talking to is Nicole.
Yes. So Bailey joins this teasing situation. She doesn't like it. She doesn't like that. She feels like this is being pushed onto Devon, and it's going to be bad for her game. And so she's kind of just trying to shut it down. She says, Nicole, don't do this. It's bad for Day's game. Stop it. And Nicole's just kind of still trying to like, oh, you know, Bailey, you met your man here. And Bay's like, well, that's what screwed up my game. And Devon is like, she's like, well, I won and I got my man too. Day says that. And then Bailey says, well, it took her a few tries and a few boys. So it's too risky. Stop.
Yes, a few tries and a few guys, which
well, that's
is,
what it becomes later.
Right. Which I love because it rhymes. First of all, that's hilarious. And that also should be my life motto as well. A few tries and a few guys. I totally got it. Like so Nicole gets upset about this whole situation and she cries a little bit later about it.
I think the context of this as well is important. Like Devon is talking with Nicole and Danny afterward. And Day says like, oh yeah, Bay was really pissed off. That Day says Bay was really pissed off because she thought you were trying to ruin my game. And it's like, it's really important that the three of us are here and that she's like, just very like testy about things, ruining my game. So she was just trying to protect me. And she felt like you were trying to ruin my game. And Nicole was like, oh, like that's not what I was trying to do. I was just joking. And she's, and Day was like, yeah, but she didn't know that. And so then Nicole says, yeah, that comment about like a couple of tries and a couple guys, Nicole changed it to the catchier phrase. Like that just hurt my feelings, a little bit. Like I didn't mean anything by it. I wasn't trying to hurt your game. And she starts crying.
Yeah, it's just like I can respect Nicole for the gameplay, but these little things just like get under my skin so much because like, whatever, get over it. I don't know. That's what I want to say about the whole situation. Because I don't know, I guess because I empathize with Bailey. So like I can understand Bailey's perspective and understand that frustration of like, do not mess with her game. Like we are trying to do this and then making a snide comment about it. Like, it, whatever.
Here's the thing. I don't blame Bailey for this situation, nor do I really think Nicole does, as Day will later explain to Bailey. But I can empathize with Nicole in this spot, and Devon explains this to Bailey later, that like for years people are incessantly slut shaming Nicole for her behavior in the house, just constant all the time. Literally as we speak, Evil Dick and others are posting videos of her and Corey in bed together, sending them to Victor, like literal videos of things. Like I can understand why this might be a sensitive topic for her.
Well, I obviously like don't condone any slut shaming, but as a slut myself, own it, girlfriend. Like get out there and be like, hell yeah, it did. Like, I ran through those boys. Yeah, like, that's the type of behavior that I would want to see because it's like, be confident, Nicole. I just want to give her an ounce of confidence because she could own it. And I don't want to sound like Brent. Lord knows I don't want to sound like Brent. But I think that's just what I was sort of like frustrated by, which I mean, obviously it's a conflict. There's right and wrong on both sides. And it was ultimately a miscommunication about things that should be fun and should be silly. Yet, you know, obviously there's a lot of background trauma that can go into certain situations. So it's a little bit more nuanced, but still.
I know. And I think there's also like, and this happens a lot, like there's a disparity between like regular people who are just trying to have fun with somebody else. And that somebody has like, especially when they're on the internet and they're public figures, they have like this whole like hidden basement of people harassing them and yeah. like taking your funny joke way too extreme. And so it's, they're going to seem much more sensitive to those things than any other person would be. So I just think that like, yes, Nicole is sensitive. That's 100% true. But let's like, you know, let's not add to that pile if we don't have to, because we don't want to accidentally be on the side of people doing that, in my opinion.
It's still hilarious. A few yes. tries and a few guys. Like, to me, like, just because, again, that, yes, exactly. That's what life is. Everything is a lot of tries and a lot of guys or a lot of gals. Like, unless you're Enzo's parents, which we got to hear the love story of Enzo's family today. Like, yes. That it's okay. Like, it's okay. And just, yeah, be kind. Or as Julie Chen says, you know, choose kindness. Okay.
If you can choose between being right and being kind, be kind.
Is the right thing not the kind? Whatever. Anyway, I'll save it for the B&B. But like, it's still like, I want to make sure that it's okay to laugh about fun things. Like, it's unfortunate that a lot of drama came from this and that feelings are hurt. And I understand that Nicole has a lot of underlying issues. And I'm sure Bay does as well. We all do. But like, I still want to have fun when I'm watching the show. Like, just to know that it's not mean-spirited. It's not mean-hearted in any way. It's just supposed to be fun.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, absolutely. We should have fun. I'm just to be clear, I'm not talking about you, Liana, either. I'm talking about, people online who take Nicole's reaction to be like, to add to that pile, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, is that it's complicated to walk that line. Mm-hmm. And so easily on the internet, especially, that line gets crossed over either side. And so just emphasizing how to handle these situations, like you said, I think is really important.
Yes. All right. So, Day, then is going to talk with, or sorry, Bailey's first going to talk with Kacer just briefly. They are talking about the vote last week. Bailey's explaining like why they didn't go with Kacer and Janelle. She says that night, after you guys left that room that you pitched to the group, Nicole, she just said, oh, they're liars and don't trust them, but still vote for me. So she was like, it was just never going to work. Like, that alliance was never going to work. I'm sorry, Kacer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, a little bit of postmortem here as well of like what, you know, what could have been. Yeah, it's a little bit of a foregone conclusion is how it feels.
Mm-hmm. So Day talks to Bay. She lets her know, like, you made Nicole cry with a couple of tries, couple guys comment, without missing a beat. Bay's just like, is it not true? And Day says, it's something that she's battling with in the outside world. Mm-hmm. Bay's like, I don't care about that. How do I deal with it? Look, I've been cranky as hell as a have not. I just do not have the patience for this. And Day says, for game purposes, you should just sit down. You don't have to apologize. It's not your fault. She doesn't blame you. It's because it's not you. It's the outside yeah. world. It's you didn't upset her. She's not mad at you. In fact, she wants to apologize to you because she feels like she's upset that you thought that she was trying to ruin my game. That's what she's mostly upset about. So she wants to apologize to you about that. And I think you just need to sit down with her and have that conversation. Bay's like, you know, I understand. If I'd thought about it, I wouldn't have said it. Day is upset that she's like, the only thing I'm upset about is that this David thing, it got out to Cody. And like, it was supposed to just be like a girl's thing, like the few of us knew. But if it starts to spread, then it could start impacting my game. Cody said he heard it from you, Bailey. Mm-hmm. And Bailey's just like, I'm just going to self-evict. I'm just done. Like,
Again, I so empathize with Bailey in this moment. She's just like, I can't do anything right. Like, gosh darn it. I'm dealing with all of these other things. It's so freaking annoying. But she not just told Cody, like Enzo knows as well, because Enzo was in that room when some of these conversations were happening about like, oh, you know, Devon needs somebody who will stand up to her. So David is too nice. Like Enzo's laying on the cot right there. So it's not just Cody. But poor Bailey. I feel for her.
Yeah. She says, I just need to not come out of my room this week. I feel hungry. I feel dumb because of that. I'm just not used to the level of sensitive that Nicole is. That's a level of sensitive I've never seen in my life before. The Tyler's HOH is triggering for me. People keep touching me. I hate it. You know that thing that people do? They just like put their hand on your shoulder briefly. Like, it's driving me nuts. And everyone is happy about Janelle leaving. But I'm not. They're keeping their side alliances. And you know who else? Kevin is really bothering me. He does, you know, he dishes, but he can't take it. And so he'll make a mean comment to me. And I'm like, Kevin, not in the mood. And he'll be like, okay, I'm positive. But then if I make mean comment to him, it's like, oh, it's like the end of the world. Super annoying. I'm just like, I feel so much of this.
I know. Same. 100% same. I think even when the charades game was going on, she's like, these people are so rowdy.
Yeah.
Like, yes, this. 100% this.
I mean, especially like the touching, like when you do not feel like being touched and people just touch you, it's just like, get your filthy hands off of me.
Stop. Stop. Like, do not do this. Faye has had it.
Oh, man. She's struggling with the slump. And like, again, like I always think back to Tyler's read on Bay, which is that like when she's super smiley and bubbly, like that is her being fake and play like playing the social game, not being fake necessarily. But when she's like, when she's being real with you, like the smile drops and, you know, she's being real with you. I feel like she doesn't have the energy to put on the smile for this week with being a have not. And she talked about it with Kaser too, that like she's an introvert and like these other people are just go and go and go. She needs time to recharge, but there's no time to recharge because you're stuck inside and there's people everywhere. And so she's running out of batteries and she doesn't have the energy to like keep up that fantastic social game that she has.
I mean, in the same way that Kaser was like, I got to step back. I need to recharge. Bay needs to be able to do that too. And unfortunately, that just hasn't happened. Combine it with the slop, combine it with everything else that's going on for her. And I think it's a struggle. I mean, that's why, you know, something that I feel like we do talk about, but maybe not that often, is just those types of effects and how that can weigh on your psyche. Because of course, like in an ideal world, top performance, you know how to behave, you know how to play the social game, you know the connections that you have to make, but it gets exhausting. Like, why do you think Tyler dropped some of those relationships towards the end of his game? Because it's exhausting. Unfortunately for Bay, we are what, how many days into this?
17.
Yeah, exactly. So those 85 days are going to be long if she's going to make it to the end.
Yeah. So she goes and talks to Tyler. And with Tyler's read, like knowing how she's feeling and how she was just talking to Devon, I now feel like I'm reading her from Tyler's perspective. And you see that she is putting on that like smile sometimes, and then sometimes she's being real with him. So like there is this sort of like back and forth, like teetering on the edge of like they trust each other, but she's still paranoid that he's gonna backdoor her this week, but they trust each other, but she's worried that he's laughing behind her back. Like it's very they're balancing on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, it's tough. And Tyler says, look, I will show you through my actions. He also showed through his actions the first season that he was willing to, you know, go back on deals. So it's a little tough, and I think adds to the overall anxiety of the situation.
Mm-hmm. She says she's concerned about Nicole because of this whole situation, but also because Nicole has mentioned that she's concerned that Janelle is coming after her and Bailey is close to Janelle. And Tyler's like, oh yeah, I heard about that Amazing Race thing. And Bailey's like, yeah, she's holding on a grudge for someone else. Tyler, Janelle's crazier than me.
I love this. I love to think of it that Bay is like trying to keep Janelle. Like, look at this, like crazier than me type situation. Like, you think I'm a lot? Like, look at this.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the goal, but I like to think it was.
Tyler says he wants to specifically look out for Bailey and Devon moving forward. Those two in particular are people that he's trying to watch out for in this group of six that they have. She mentions that she's not going to use the veto on Janelle if she wins it, even if Janelle chooses her to play, and that will be awkward. Tyler's like, well, she's going to, if you don't use it, she's going home anyway. So, and
throw the veto.
Yeah. And then they talk about, Twitter and their fans, and Tyler talks about how like my real fans, they don't hate on people. Like, they don't hate on, like, 'cause she was talking about Tangela fans, like, getting all up in her business. And he's like, those are not my fans. I told them that they are not my fans to unfollow me. I deleted my Twitter. I just, like, 'cause here's the thing. People make those accounts, those Tangela accounts, and then they hate on us. They are not our fans. They are just haters.
Disavow, Tyler, disavow them all.
and he's like, it took me a while to realize too, because, like, you know, Swaley fans would get all up in my business, and I was like, but those are not your fans, those are just hate. Like, there's a difference. Like, mm-hmm. If you are somebody that sends hate to people, you are not a fan of mine. Like, just hands down.
Play that on repeat, baby. Like, it goes with the theme. Like, don't send hate. Tyler will disavow you. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to be a Tyler fan?
I'm looking at you, person listening and or watching on the internet that thinks you're a Tangela fan.
This one goes out directly to you.
I will reiterate that myself as well, actually, that I concur with Tyler's statement. You're not a fan of Tyler if you send hate. No, you're not a fan of me if you send hate to anybody else. All right. So Devon talks to Kevin late into the night. It's an interesting conversation. Kevin said that he met Kacer in real life. Not a fan.
What is Kevin even doing? We joke about David not knowing what show he's on, but, like, Kevin, I had such high hopes for you, buddy. Like, what is even going on here?
How can you meet Kacer in real life and not be a fan?
But, like, why would you even say that? Even if he does have that opinion, Kacer's probably going to stay there. Shut up, Kevin. Oh, it's so frustrating.
Oh, man. Kevin says that he believes that he does believe there's a bigger group and they're looking to line up their ducks to shoot. But he's trying to set his dominoes up so that he gets pulled in, that he's got a few different, like, relationships with people that he knows are in power. He's hoping that as they shoot their ducks, that he is somebody that they will need to pull in eventually. And I know this sounds silly and pathetic, but I mean, it might work.
Like, what is this, Duck Hunter? But also, he's not wrong, I guess, in theory, right? I mean, that would be the hope. Okay, sure. So once that war happens, then you can get on in there. Which I, again, like, it's not inherently a bad strategy. I don't know if Kevin's reads are good enough to then position himself with the right people for when that civil war happens.
Yeah. And he also, like, he kind of talks about this with Devon. They're talking about the David situation and he's like, you need to either face it or about face it or lean into it. Like, you can't straddle the middle. And he's talking about the David thing, that where she kind of like goes along with it sometimes, doesn't completely shut it down, but she also denies it. He's like, you can't play the middle there, because then people will feel like they can't go to you to ask you about it, and so they'll go to other people to ask them about it, and then they'll be talking about you. So you have to choose a side. You have to do a 180 and say absolutely not, or lean into it and say and admit it. And he's talking about David, but he could also be talking about Day's game in general, because this is the problem that Day has in the game. This is exactly the problem she's experiencing. And it's exactly the outcome that's happening, is that she expressed some doubt, but still stayed with the Alliance. And she's straddling that middle line. And now they are talking to each other. They don't feel that they're able to talk to Day about it. And now they're only talking to each other, and they're talking about Day, and they don't trust her.
I love this as the analogy of the game, because that is very true. And I mean, even now with, you know, Janelle and Kacer being on the block, and just, it's like, Devon, just pick a side. You know, all of the probing and all of the testing the waters to try to understand where people lie is not helping. Just commit and let's go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good advice, but then we need to get back to some terrible reads. They do believe that Janelle was approached about an alliance, but they don't believe that she like flat out turned it down, unless she turned it down just because Nicole Franzl was in it. That's possible. Then Day's talking about Kacer's heart to heart earlier, that he's talking about all of these things. And Kevin's like, oh, he plays that up for sympathy. He's crying for sympathy, the sympathy card. He's trying to, you know, all of that, you know, race stuff, which I don't know what that is exactly, but he's trying to, you know, play the sympathy card.
What did Kacer? Like, what are you even talking about?
What did Kacer do to him?
Maybe he met a doppelganger for Kacer. Like, it wasn't actually Kacer, and something traumatic happened, because he has such strong opinions on things that don't really make sense.
It's like he met Kacer, and Kacer just looked at Kevin, looked at his drink, threw the drink in Kevin's face, and walked away. Like, that must have been the interaction. I don't know what else.
Real Housewives of Biotech. Like, it just went all out. Yeah, very, very odd. But even again, like, it just baffles me that, let's say you do have these strong opinions for reasons, why are you saying this stuff anyway? Like, in what way does it benefit you to continue to be so negative about Kacer? What?
Not to justify it, but if I'm looking for, I think that Kevin wants Kacer to go and for Janelle to stay. He had a conversation with Janelle. He didn't believe her when she lied to him, but I think that he sees that she's, look, this is me projecting now, she's a bigger target, more likely to have people still be going after her after Kacer leaves, whereas Kacer has more of a chance to blend back in and kind of take Kevin's spot as a somebody that squeezes in the cracks. And he had that conversation with Janelle where they might be able to like still be cool with each other if she stays. But like, also, he just clearly just never liked Kacer. So, you know, that's me putting a game reason on it when there's probably not one.
Right. It could just be some underlying personality issue. But it just, sometimes it feels like the game of Big Brother is being played within the house. And then there's Kevin, like, over here in his own little sphere, just sort of sometimes interacting with the rest of the house guests to sort of do his own little strategy that's going on. It just feels so disparate from the other groups of alliances and interactions. It's very bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm. Devon says, though, she says, it was genuine. He's not playing this up, but it was funny because I was crying about my struggles. Kacer was like crying about his struggles, and we were having this great conversation, and Janelle was just sitting in the middle like, she's like, she's make America great again. Sitting there watching us back and forth.
Yes, that's so unfortunate. So unfortunate. Like, her and Sarah Lacina have the exact same problem for me. Is like, I would love to 100% stan you and be like, yes, but I just can't. I just can't.
Mm-hmm. And to be clear, I have no idea, you know, where Janelle stands. I've seen some people say that she's reformed, I guess. Like, I have no idea. But Dave Vaughn, at the very least, is of this opinion and said that on the feeds. So I thought that was, it's a moment that's making the rounds there on the internet. So there you go. That was the night. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Liana?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered that in a lot of detail, actually, given everything that happened last night. We're going to get the veto today. There could be something that happens as a result of that, but it really does look like either Kacer or Janelle is going to be going home this week.
All right. So that's what we have for you from the day. Of course, later tonight, I'll be back with the roundtable. We'll talk about the Legacy Watch. The survey will be up after this podcast. So you can find it on Twitter at Armstrong Taren, where you can judge the legacies of the players as the season goes on. How has the game thus far impacted their legacy? Let me know. And we'll talk about it later tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, for the roundtable. And of course, tomorrow morning, I'll be back to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. They'll likely play the veto later tonight. And then Sunday, episode recap. Great stuff. Liana, what do you got going on?
So we are recording the RHAP Big Brother B&B, talking with Haley Strong. We are going to chronicle Ian's punishment, the adventures of Dirk Space Jammer. I watched all of the scenes that he has to act out multiple times. So we're going to talk about that. So clearly some really hard hitting journalism going on. I'm also covering the Survivor Rewatch with RHAP B&B. We're doing our last episode, the Borneo finale, and Canada's Drag Race is chugging along as well. Oh, all and right. You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP.
There you go. And you can find me on Twitter again at Armstrong Taren, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Thank you so much for joining us. See you next time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.